Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send us an email or favorite recipe, please contact us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. Or you could visit our website and use the contact page, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on our website at recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. Now this time we're going to be talking about exercising discretion. And as we often do, because we are practical people on this show, we don't just talk about theory, we're going to define what discretion is within our context, within the context of a workshop, a seminar, a negotiated dispute, a mediation, an alternative dispute resolution, whatever it is that we are, well, we're usually the leader of it, aren't we? Whatever it is that we are doing within the context of getting people together to reach a successful outcome, a negotiated outcome. So, what is discretion within that context? And thank you. I see there's lots of you here. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for your participation. Oh, let's see. Oh, we have, this is, actually, this is a, this kind of sums it up. Tilly says that discretion is thinking before speaking. Oh, what a good definition. And there's lots of good definitions. Yes, thinking before speaking. Yes, and we're getting a lot of agreement because that's really one of the main things that we need to do. Sometimes we have kind of an immediate reaction to something, and we say something that we later wished, well, that we hadn't been so hasty. Mm-hmm. And maybe it wasn't very discreet, maybe it wasn't very non-controversial, non-threatening to the participants. Maybe we accidentally took a side. At least it seems that we did. Remember, we're usually the impartial third party, right? And we wish we hadn't said that. We've all done it. And the idea is to think before you speak. Give it 10 seconds before you say something. I try to remember to do that. I think we all do, don't we? We try to remember to pause before something comes out of our mouth that, well, it's hard to take back because everybody's heard it. You learn that especially, pardon me, it's taught when you talk in front of a jury, for example, right? And I know quite a few of us happen to be attorneys, not everybody, but you get trained to not say something in front of a jury that's hard to take back. And also one of the things that they teach you is to be careful not to ask one question too many because you might not like the answer. Yeah, you got to think about it. And, you know, that's kind of what we do too. You got to think about the group dynamic and whether or not you might be asking one question too many, which will cause someone to maybe say something without thinking on their side. Mm-hmm. So thinking before speaking. What a great idea for discretion, eh? Quite a few people, James and others, are saying that within our context, discretion is keeping a confidence. Yeah. Somebody tells you something in confidence because you are the leader. You are the impartial third party. You find something out. And it's not for group publication. It's something that you keep in the back of your mind. But somebody told you in confidence, and to help push the group forward to their successful outcome. But it's not something that they want you to tell. Keeping a confidence. It's discretion, right? Keeping a secret. People are saying, what's a confidence? It's a secret, keeping a secret. Or keeping, you know, it's not, yeah, people are saying it's not necessarily a secret, because a secret implies that no one knows besides you and the person who told you. It's something that is, well, people say somebody spoke out of turn in private. Let's think about that. Not necessarily. It's something that someone tells you that, or that you find out, that is not for publication to the group, not to be just told to everybody. It's private. Does that make sense? Yeah. Something that was told to you in private. And sometimes, yes, this is an interesting point. You know, I always say that this show is not scripted, that it goes wherever the questions and the answers take us. And thank you all for all of your... people are saying that it's a confidence, it's a secret, when somebody swears you to not repeat it, when it's somebody says, well, don't tell anyone. You promise? But, you see, and then they fill in the sentence with something that you'd really kind of like to know. yes, I think, yeah, we've got kind of a divergence here. Some people are saying that that's a confidence when somebody swears you to it, like a secret. But really, discretion is when you know something, but it's not the right time to bring it up, right? That's exercising discretion, really. Yes, somebody can swear you to secrecy, but, you know, sometimes you know that it's not the right moment for something, right? And it won't go over well for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And that's using your discretion, too. It's going, well, you know, I don't think that that's such a really hunky-dory idea. Maybe we shouldn't do it. Yeah. Or maybe I shouldn't say it now. Or maybe, good point, James and others are saying that you use your discretion with a confidence because the person who told you something in confidence should be the one to bring it up, not you. Yeah. You know something kind of in advance, and you've talked about it with the participant. But it's your discretion. It's your, not your spot, not your place to bring it up to the group. It's the person who has the confidence. That's their place to bring it up to the group. Right? Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a good point, too. Rupasi and others are saying, thank you for all of your participation, that discretion within the context, and within the context of thinking before speaking, and within keeping of confidence, is not engaging in gossip. Yes, not engaging in gossip. Yeah, and sometimes what's told to you in confidence really kind of is gossip, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's somebody said somewhere, or some unknown person saw. Or the word is, that's gossip, right? And you got to think about whether or not it has any validity. Because just because someone told it to you, and just because they believe it, doesn't mean it's true, right? It could just be gossip. And gossip is usually, can we say it's usually malicious? Yeah, I'm getting a little divergent. It's possible to have good gossip, I suppose, because gossip is really, it's what people say about you. People are saying, exactly what's the definition? It's what people say about you, like third party, and then someone else repeats what they heard someone else say about someone, right? And I suppose, yeah. It's a good. I suppose that this is an Americanism, and this is, of course, a global show. But, you know, we probably all have played this game, at least those of us of a certain age, I suppose, because telephones are not what they used to be. But you ever play the game of telephone where you whisper something to someone. You kind of stand in a line or go around the room, could be in a circle, and someone starts a statement, and they whisper it to someone, and then you whisper it to the next person next to you, and then you whisper it to the next person next to you, and you repeat it down the line, right? And then the last person to hear the statement that said to them, the whisper, repeats out loud what they heard. And it's fun because it shows that what is stated, that's how gossip flows. It's kind of an example of how gossip works. Because what is stated at the end by the last person is very, then the first person says what they said that started it. It's different. It's got different context. Sometimes it's really different. But you know what I mean? As it went down the line of people hearing it, it got interpreted and not repeated exactly. And so the interpretation went down the line, and then the next person interpreted it. And the outcome is usually quite different than the original statement, which might have been quite bland. You know, it's a statement. It's usually when in the game, it's usually a statement about, well, when I started, it's usually a statement about an historic figure, right? As something that they did, because then nobody's feelings are hurt, right? Usually it's about Thomas Jefferson, because usually I'm in the United States, and Thomas Jefferson had kind of an interesting personal life, right? And so I started off like that, and then, and you know, this is a global show, so whatever it is, wherever you are, make it a statement about a person or a celebrity or something, but not somebody in the room, not somebody that anyone knows, not a person that could be harmed by the game or insulted in some way, right? Just use a celebrity, use an historical figure, but use somebody that you make a statement about that's kind of, well, it's kind of a statement of fact, but, and when you're starting it, it's a statement of fact, but as it goes down the line, it changes. And it's interesting to see, because what the last person will find that's been said to them is not at all what the first person put in. Mm-hmm. So that's gossip. Gossip gets changed. It might have started out as just a statement of fact, right? The first person was just saying something about somebody that they observed, could have even seen it. Mm-hmm. And by the time it gets into different ears and people repeat it, it changes. Mm-hmm. Changes according to how the person heard it, right? Because we all hear with interpretation. So not engaging in gossip is using your discretion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not repeating it is the key to it, because we all hear gossip, and you have to determine whether or not that's what you've got, of course. But don't repeat it. Don't engage in it. Don't encourage it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Booth and others are saying that what you're really doing when you don't engage in gossip and you think before you speak and you keep a confidence is that you're setting a standard of politeness. I like it. Discretion really is politeness, in a sense, right? It's thinking of other people's feelings and thinking of other people's reaction and thinking about how your words impact other people's opinion about what should be done and about the other participants. Yeah. And it's a matter of politeness. Mm-hmm. It really is. Setting a standard of politeness. Yeah, we're not going to say unfounded things about other people. Mm-hmm. And it might not even be a person in the group. It might be somebody that we're dealing with, right? An outsider. Because usually the civility rules, yeah, people are talking about the civility rules. We seem to talk about them every show, and they're important. If you'd like to hear prior shows, by the way, recipeforpeacenow.com, they're all archived. The civility rules are very basic. They get changed according to your group, because it all depends on who you're dealing with. But basically speaking, the civility rules say that we're not going to be rude to each other. Mm-hmm. We're going to be polite. We're going to take turns. We're going to be respectful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are using the word respect as a definition of discretion, to be respectful to the participants, respectful to people outside the group too. I never see why one should be rude. I'm never rude. Even if someone is rude to me, I set an example of politeness. I do. And you know that's the best way. long ago, a friend of mine taught me, I was working in the court system, and a friend of mine taught me that people who are rude and lack discretion and like that, they like to fight with other people. They like the response, right? They like the give and take of being obnoxious and fighting. And if you don't let them, if you refuse to participate, it annoys the living daylights out of them, for one thing, which is really fun. But you're no good to fight with. You set an example of politeness. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yeah, good point. People are saying sometimes exaggerated politeness, mm-hmm. Especially in public, right? Right? Yeah. So that everyone understands that you know that you're being faced with non-civil behavior, uncivil, and you're going to set a sample of politeness because we do not breach the civility rules. Because if we do, and we're not a good example, then we can't hold people to them is the main thing. Yeah, I want to hold people to the civility rules. I want you to have to do them. I want you to be embarrassed if you're not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the key to it. I want you to have to. And you don't have to if I don't do them. Mm-hmm. So I do. I see rudeness. I see uncivility. Man, I get break out the exaggerated politeness. Mm-hmm. So what other? You know, we've got another definition of discretion that a lot of people are giving, and it's very good also. And it really goes to the idea of the thinking before speaking and keeping a confidence and not engaging in gossip and setting a standard of politeness. And it's really, and Caitlin and others are saying that the key to discretion within our context as a leader, really, is to have a reputation of trustworthiness. Yeah, I have a reputation that I won't repeat what you tell me in confidence. Mm-hmm. I have a reputation that I will not engage in gossip. I'm not going to laugh at you behind your back. Mm-mm. And I'm not going to let other people engage in just gossip either. Mm-hmm. No, it's not fair, it's not good, and it gets us nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I think before I speak, because that has to do with keeping the confidence, right? And not engaging in gossip and being polite. So you get a reputation of trustworthiness. And, you know, that reputation is so valuable. I've been in business for more than 30 years. I was a child when I became an attorney. And the reputation for trustworthiness is something that you build up, yeah? But it's invaluable. It really is. It's something that just is so important. Because if you have a reputation for discretion and trustworthiness, and you'd never breach it because you're very conscious of it, it means that people will truly have confidence in you. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you do need someone, a participant, an outsider, an expert, someone, to tell you something in confidence that you plain ordinary hadn't thought of. And it's important in your leadership role to kind of lead the group towards their own conclusion that has been told to you in confidence. Yeah. But you go, oh my, wow, I didn't even think of that. And sometimes it's really important. You know, it's not gossip or anything. It's just, oh, or somebody tells you to look at something, to research something, and you go, oh, wow, I didn't think of that. Yeah, see, it's kind of like, ooh, really? gosh, I didn't even know I was supposed to think about that. Yeah. And so it's a matter of discretion and a matter of keeping a confidence. Yeah. So that's kind of, it's very important in that respect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To have a reputation of trustworthiness. And I'm always very aware of it because, you know, like, a good thing can be ruined very quickly if you accidentally do something that's not, well, not good for your reputation of trustworthiness. So always be careful about it. So this is a practical show, right? And we've decided what discretion is. But how do we practice discretion? Mm-hmm. How do we know when we're doing it? Mm-hmm. How do we know how to do it? How do we know that this is what we want and this is exercising discretion? How do we know it when we've got it? Mm-hmm. How do we practice discretion? Because that's, yeah, people are saying, yeah, it's a good point. Nice to know what it is, but how do we do it? This is a very good point. Gabe and others are saying by listening carefully. And listening implies that we're not speaking, right? Because we talked about thinking before speaking, by listening carefully. Mm-hmm. And really thinking about what's being said, thinking about what's going on, mm-hmm. so that we don't accidentally breach discretion and don't add something that shouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a good point. How do we practice discretion? Stephen says, by not being the first to speak. Yeah, let other people speak first. See the group dynamic. People are saying take the temperature of the group. I said that's group dynamic, really. By not being the first to speak, by always listening and letting other people have their turn. You know, I must confess that I have to actually, because of my personality, and this is kind of like true confessions, and I think it's true of a lot of you, a lot of leaders, because we are experienced and because we are leading and because we have confidence, sometimes we accidentally kind of take over the group, right? And we most of the talking and just kind of steer them. And people who are not as confident, they kind of let you, which encourages you to do it, right? But really, especially in the early stages, because we might need to take firmer rein later on. You know what I mean? If the group's really not getting focused and it's not really going down the path, sometimes you have to kind of take over and lead them. But you still have to listen carefully. And especially in the beginning, listening is terribly important to see what everybody, why everyone's there, right? And we've discussed in the past in other programs, the recipeforpeacenow.com, they're archived, that frequently, not all the time, but quite frequently, the participants are there because they want the same outcome. But they're there for different reasons. Mm-hmm. For example, someone has an economic interest. Something's impacting their business. Someone else in the group might have a societal interest. They think that it would be good for the world, for the community. And they don't have an actual direct economic interest in the outcome. Some people might be there because they're been sent as kind of agents of a group that has an opinion about something. And it might be a faith-based reason. I mean, you have all kinds of reasons, but the outcome that they want is the same. The actual, for example, a change in the law. Mm-hmm. But there's different reasons. Yeah. So that's one of the keys to listen and not being the first to speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're the leader. You're usually the third party impartial, at least I usually am, and you probably are too. And you want to see what it is, how far away we are, right? How close? what we think. Yeah, good point. People, Stephen and others, are saying one of the things you need to find out of not being the first to speak and to listen carefully, one of the things you need to find out is what we think the outcome looks like. Yeah, because we've talked about preconceived notions and like that in prior shows. And your experience as a leader might tell you what you think the outcome's supposed to look like. This would be success. But maybe the group, that's not what they think. Mm-hmm. That's not the outcome that they had in mind. Yeah, or it modifies, yeah. So it's not always, you got to be careful that you're not the know-it-all in the room, because we're not. You have to bring your A-game and really listen and not be the first to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, Dalma and others are making a good point that how do we practice discretion? By not letting others be indiscreet. Good point. Yeah. We don't want others to be indiscreet and to get the group off on a tangent or to allow... Anique says no, there's a no-gossiping rule. Yeah. Within the group, you don't want... And it's not only us saying something indiscreet, but we don't want the group to just sit there and gossip and be indiscreet or reveal something that really has no bearing on the issues. First of all, if you let the group kind of degenerate like that, you've lost focus. Yeah. And one of the things we need to do as a leader is to keep everybody focused on the goal and not just let them kind of wander off into the land of indiscreet speculation, right? Doesn't help us any. We need to deal with the facts, with the research, with what needs to be done, and we need to find a way to get to the successful outcome, right? And just being indiscreet and gossiping and like that, it might be fun. I mean, let's face it, but it's not going to get us anywhere. It gets us, and I have actually, people are asking me about it. Yes, I'm going to say it depends. You guys think that I say that all the time, but it does. People are asking about the telephone game that I described at the beginning of the show. And yes, I have actually had groups do that when we are going into the land of just rumor and gossip and like that, and we're getting caught up in it. Mm-hmm. It's human nature. I mean, it doesn't make us bad people. It just means that it's human nature to find that kind of stuff interesting, right? Yeah. And so I do it just to show that whatever it is that we've heard, unless somebody can validate it, or unless it has real bearing on the issues, real bearing on our successful outcome, and we need to look into it. I mean, this is important, yeah? Unless one of those two things is true, it's just gossip. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to engage in just gossip because we're not that kind of people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so no gossiping rule. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose. Anique and others are saying that there's a fine line between gossiping and telling things that everyone needs to know. And you got to think about that as you sit there as the leader, yeah. Whether or not this is moving us forward, and whether or not whatever's being said, it needs to be verified. Because just having had someone say it is not enough. It needs to have a verification, right? Need to be able to say, well, let's see, is that actually true? Yeah, see, stuff like that. Okay. Yeah, Riley says you need to require a basis for statements and also for written communications. Good point. Email is fun. Email is easy. Email is a written communication that is oftentimes misinterpreted, right? Yeah, primarily because people don't write long things in an email usually. And also texting is a written communication, blogging, all that stuff. Anything that you read is, of course, a written communication. And you need to think about it. And you have to think about whether or not you're going to pass it around, right? That's using discretion. And you need to verify if it's something that will impact the way you act or the direction that you're going. Need to verify the information. So how do we avoid breaching discretion? There's a lot of pitfalls in this, aren't there? A lot of ways to accidentally be indiscreet. And you know, it does happen accidentally because we don't think before we speak, like we talked about at the beginning of the show. And it comes out, we accidentally, we forward something that seems like a good idea at the time, right? And then later on we go, oh, how could I have done that? It was not, I didn't act discreetly. I did not act with discretion. Because sometimes, it's a good point, sometimes discretion is kind of a regret. Yeah, people are using the expression, and it may be an Americanism, but all languages probably have this, and this is, of course, a global show. And thank you all for being here. Yay! Ever hear the expression, hindsight is 20/20? Hindsight is 20/20. It means that when you look back on something you did, will you look back on it through the present, and it's what you did's reaction, what the result was. And it may be something you didn't at all foresee. Yeah, it happens to all of us. And that's why I'm usually try to be overly discreet. Because, you know, it's the law of unintended consequences. Sometimes things just, what you did, you do, oh, gee, I never thought it would have that interpretation. You know, and that's why you have to reread your emails, too, and your tweets and your texts and stuff. Reread the things from an outsider perspective. It'll help. And my rule is not to hit send until I've reread it and thought about it. And you know, a lot of times, I know it takes us extra 30 seconds and we're a very fast-paced world, but really, it'll take more than 30 seconds to undo the damage if you've sent something that's going to be forwarded around. Remember, everything gets sent around. You can expect it. That is going to be misinterpreted. Or, yeah, good point. Ooh, we will not drunk send. People are saying never send drunk. Never send impaired. Never write anything impaired or say anything impaired. If you accidentally overindulge and you've lost your inhibitions and your discretion, go lie down and go to sleep for a while. Yes, you'll feel much better. And you won't have done something that you regret. Honest to God, I've got a friend who is, he sends out Facebook stuff. You know how Facebook is written and like that. He sends out long, rambling, if you're on here, don't get insulted. You know who you are. He sends out long, rambling Facebook posts when he's been drinking. And they're subject to misinterpretation. Yeah. And they're just, it's like, really? Go lie down. And then 2 days later, when he gets the comments, you know how Facebook has comments? He has to send out a long apology post about how he didn't really mean it, and he was drunk, and it was 2 a.m., and he just had an argument. I mean, don't do anything that you're going to have to apologize for, really. And I know that you don't know it when you're doing it, but if you're in any way impaired, just stay away from the computer. Stay away from your phone. Because nowadays we all have it on our mobile devices, so it's real tempting. Because it's in your hand, and you're sitting in a bar or something. I swear, I think he does it from bars. And he just, you know, and I know women that do it too. You know, they have a bad date or something, and it doesn't work out. No. If you're feeling overly cranky, take 6 deep breaths, go have yourself a nice snack, and think about whether or not you're actually going to send something that's kind of, you're going to have to send a big apology post for. Yeah. So that's one of the ways we avoid breaching discretion. Don't do anything until you're fully in your usual charming self. Mm-hmm. Yes, big deal. Mm-hmm. And also, people are saying to, I think this is very valid, to reread your posts so that, reread them like a stranger. You understand what I'm saying? Don't just check for spelling or something, but take a second to sit back and reread whatever it is you've written from a reader perspective that's not you, so that you don't have a funny meaning to it. So it's not going to be interpreted wrong. Yeah? So reread them. I actually redo posts quite a bit. Not Facebook, you know what I mean? Everything that's written. Emails and stuff too. I actually do. I sit back and once I've done it, I reread it. And then, you know, it's easy before you send it. You click behind, you delete something. I like to, and then I say, well, that's not as clear as it might be, right? And so I make it more clear to the reader, right? I put in a date, I put in a time, I delete something that seems like it might not be interpreted the way I meant it, right? Yeah. So how else do we avoid breaching discretion? What's another pitfall that happens? And you see these things happening. Of course, we don't do them, but you see them. You've got to be careful of them. Sam says refusing to listen to rumors and gossip. Yeah, we've talked about that, the rumors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can listen. I mean, you don't have to plug. I once had a participant, honest to God. I'd never seen it before, and I've never seen how you have experiences as you do this a lot. Honest to goodness, she was a young woman. And if she didn't want to hear something in public, right, sitting with other adults, she actually stuck her fingers in her ears and yelled, la, 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 la. It was the weirdest thing. It was like, are you insane? Or a two-year-old, whichever comes first. And that was one of the things, you know, how we have the timeout with the food and the networking and like that. The first time she did it, and then when we had our little timeout and I came over to her, and we talked about appropriate behavior in a group and how you would listen to everyone in a polite manner, and that was really, really rude, and a reaction fitting for a two-year-old to annoy one's mother. And you know, I think, you know how people act surprised, but they're really not? It's just that they've been caught. You know how that is? Honest to goodness, I think she was surprised. She thought that was appropriate behavior. She'd done it all her life. She was in her 20s. And what I'm telling you is she wasn't like a small child in a group that I was trying to show how to build blocks or something. I mean, I don't do children. So, yeah, honest to goodness, I think she was surprised that that wasn't appropriate behavior. It was the darndest thing. I've never seen it before or after. And that did put a kibosh on it for that group. I figured, well, it was quite some time ago. She's still doing it today somewhere, and it's going to be very strange. Okay. You know, how do we avoid breaching discretion? Gianna has a good point. And you know how sometimes there's a rumor which is really gossip is rumors, right? I mean, it's all the same word. It's just a different word for the same basic thing. And you'd kind of like to know if it's true. Yeah. Or know where it originated or know why. It's something that you kind of need to know. Because if it's true, it makes a difference to how you're going to proceed. Mm-hmm. And to whether it really does make a difference. You've heard it. I like to hear these things more than once. And not from, you know, from different people. But if it's true, it will have an impact difference. So what should we do? We've got something that really does make a difference. If we've got that, I like to try to verify it, right? I like to know what, maybe ask the source. But, you know, I don't know, you have to decide if this breaches discretion or not. Because you don't want to say where you heard the rumor, right? Because that breaches discretion. But depending on the situation, Gianna says that the way to avoid breaching discretion is by asking the person involved in the rumor whether or not what they think of that, and ask them to refute it or to tell you why or whatever, but ask the person who the rumor is about, who the gossip is about. Tell them that this is what you've heard, and is it true? Yeah, just come right on. I tend to be kind of direct like that. I'm kind of in favor of Gianna's thought, and yeah, we're getting kind of a mixture because there's a camp. No, there's a group, and thank you for all of your participation. Quite a few people are saying that that's breaching discretion in and of itself. Because you are taking something that is gossip or rumor, and we just decided that that was a bad thing, and you are bringing it up to the person who was the subject of the gossip or the rumor. And that's bad. That's really not cool. And I can accept that. I think that's a very good point. I'm going to say it depends. Because it depends on who the person is, whether or not, if the truth or falsity of the rumor is really important and impactful, I will actually go to the person and say I've heard this. Not where I heard it, but, and is it true? Mm-hmm. And yeah, then the next sentence is, why didn't you tell me? Yeah, that sometimes happens too. But see what I mean? So asking the person involved, that depends. But it's a way of avoiding breaching discretion out in public, so to speak, because you ask, and then you ask if it can be brought up, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How to avoid breaching discretion, Ling says, by keeping your mouth shut. By keeping your mouth shut. I like it. Ling, that's great. By keeping your mouth shut. That's one way of looking at it. And quite frankly, if you keep your mouth shut, then you probably won't breach discretion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are talking about this, asking about the verification part. Because it's true that sometimes you really need to find out if you need to act on what you've been told. Does that make sense? Yeah. You need to be able to determine whether or not you need to act on it, whether it's what the impact is going to be, right? Yeah. And so you need to know what kind of discretion we've got going here. Whether or not we could verify. It's gossip. It's a rumor. It's an opinion. Let's talk about verification. What should we do? Mm-hmm. How should we go about verifying something to find out if what we've heard is really true, really going to impact us, really going to impact the group? So what is with this verification? Mm-hmm. Bobby and others are saying that you should try to find witnesses. Mm-hmm. If it's something that other people, you want to find the source, the witnesses, the people that actually saw it happen or heard it. Mm-hmm. I'm more in favor of talking to the person who it's about. Witnesses. They deny it. Good point. Yeah, try to find the source of who saw it. Mm-hmm. And then you can determine how valid you think, how reputable you think the source is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a good point. Catherine and others are mentioning the online research tools, those people sites, where for a few dollars you put in somebody's name and you get all kinds of information about them. And it's really culled from public records and stuff. In the United States, it's fairly pervasive. You know, you can learn quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are saying in other countries, too. Countries that keep real records, the public records, yeah, to see what they've got, the online research, people tools. Mm-hmm. Those are quite helpful, quite handy. Mm-hmm. You know, Ariana and others are saying that one of the verifications is to allowing the person to refute the rumor. Allowing the person to refute, to argue that they didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And this may go to discretion also. Roger and other people are saying that because the leader is acting discreetly, you could ask the person to give you private proof of no wrongdoing that you can keep in confidence, right? Private proof. So that you can be certain that you can say, well, that's not true to the rumor. I know for a fact, just take my, because people trust you, right? That goes to trustworthiness. I have evidence that it's not true. Just take my word for it that there's been no wrongdoing, right? Because it might be private from the person, but they need to trust you to give you that confidence. Mm-hmm. Margot says to look at past practices, especially historical ones within an organization, and see if they tend to do that, if they've done it in the past. If they've taken a position, for example, that is many times, and now they seem to be taking the opposite position, for example, but rumor has it that they're just trying to block progress. Mm-hmm. And you can make a discretionary decision about that, too, whether or not they should perhaps continue in the group. Mm-hmm. Oh, good point. Tiffany and others are saying that if you want to know how people really think and what they're really doing and whether some sort of a rumor is true, some sort of gossip or a rumor is true, look to social media. Yeah, nowadays everybody lives in a glass house. Sometimes people are more pervasive on social media than others. I actually see people putting all kinds of stuff on social media, Facebook and blogging. Also publishing opinions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. LinkedIn, for example. Is that international? It may be kind of an American thing, but there's other kinds of social sites where people post things that they've written. Mm-hmm. Ah, good point. Post things that they agree with and make a comment about them. Yeah. And then you know what their opinion is about something. Mm-hmm. What it is that they've been doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, people love to post. They take selfies all over the place. Mm-hmm. But that's not snooping on somebody. That's something that they've put out in the world. And oftentimes, one of the things that's shown to you as a leader, or people show it to the group, is that they're, for example, you know how you have to be in the group of somebody to see their Facebook or their LinkedIn and like that. Well, oftentimes people will bring up that they're on somebody's, can we call it a page? It's not always called a page, I don't suppose. But they're in somebody's group, and they have published something that's of interest to the group, right? And somebody brings it on their phone or their tablet, and they show it to you. Look, this is what this person that we're dealing with said on their private group. And is that lack of discretion to show somebody's Facebook post? Lack of discretion. That you'll have to decide on a case-by-case basis, I think. Because it depends if it really impacts the group and it is exactly contrary to what they have promoted, for example, what they've said they want. Because that impacts the group. It impacts the outcome. Mm-hmm. Not if it's just gossip, really. Or it's a naked picture. People put all kinds of screwy things on. If it's like a naked picture or something that's just drunk talk. Yeah, they did it drunk, exactly. That doesn't make any difference. We don't need to laugh at them or something. That's indiscreet. But if it really has impact, that might be something that we should perhaps discuss. And they've put it out in public. Remember, people, my friends, that anything you put on a computery type thing is there forever. Congratulations. Yes, forever. And it's just, you have to accept that that's true. And it's a publication. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are we talking about? We're talking about inadvertent indiscretion, aren't we? Because people don't think about it when they post something. And we just discussed that we're not going to do it in any way impaired, like inebriated or anything else, and that we are going to read it first, right? Right. But still, how can we avoid inadvertently breaching discretion? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're inadvertently discreet. Mm-hmm. And what, this is a good point. Most of you are saying as a group setting, and thank you, Chad and others are saying that what happens is that the participants don't think that they're being indiscreet, and they do something like text or blog or in some way discuss the process. And you need to tell people not to do that. In today's very share everything world, and honest to goodness, I figure you guys do too, I get people every time they eat something, every time they go someplace, they share it. I love them dearly. I do not really care if they're eating a hamburger. It's nice, a pretty picture. But you know, people overshare. And it's gotten kind of endemic. It's one of the things that especially younger people, they just use their device constantly, and it's like flow of information. What was that Kafka thing? Stream of consciousness, right? It's like a constant stream of consciousness. You have to tell them not to do that. We're in the process. We're working on it. Yeah. When we succeed, tell everybody, take a selfie, take a group picture, put it everywhere. We change the world, right? Yeah. But in the process, it's like making sausage. It's kind of ugly. And you don't want to make comments about it or about the other participants. No, except that everything is seen by everyone, because quite frankly, it will eventually be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have to tell participants not to, right? Because they don't think about it. They just type away with their thumbs. And it's just stream of consciousness, but that's not good. Yeah. Noelle and others just say you should ban using devices as you sit there because you need a cooling off period. I do. Some of you say to confiscate the device. Well, that's kind of a biggie. And like, you could put them aside on a table, right? But I don't let people text while they're sitting there. Text and blog and like that. No. And we don't do it during the break either, during the timeout. We've kind of got a concentrate on the group, only answer if you're bleeding type rule, right? Yeah. I mean, because sometimes people do indeed need to be in contact with their office or something. But not this stream of consciousness, just what I'm doing type thing. No. It's not something you need to do. And it is true what Noelle and others are saying, that if you don't sit there and do it instantly, it gives you a cooling off period. Yeah, it means that you can't, you think about it. Think before speaking. Think before texting, too. Think before putting anything down. Yeah, it gives you a cooling off period. It's kind of like gun laws. You know, in many, I don't know if this is true all over the country, but in a lot of the country, a lot of the United States, before you can buy a handgun, but they won't let you leave the shop with it for 2 days because you might be buying a handgun for a anger or a passionate purpose, and you'll cool down. Yeah, they actually call it a cooling off period. Mm-hmm. They won't let you have it for a little while because you'll come to your senses. And it's just a matter of indignation, right? Yeah, cooling off period. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean says no blogging, no Facebook, et cetera. You wait until a period to be proud of your successful outcome, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this is a good point that Suki is making. Uh-oh, we're going to be out of time and not do our recipes. I know, we do it a lot, but the conversation is so interesting that we kind of keep going because people are, we had so much wonderful participation. Thank you all for being there and for participating and for listening. And so we are going to not make it to our recipes. I know this because we have 2 minutes left. And Suki and others are making a very good point that both humor and sarcasm are subject to misinterpretation, especially when written. Mm-hmm. That's so important. I'm going to read it again. That both humor and sarcasm are subject to misinterpretation, especially when written. Yes. When you read it or say it in your head and you're looking at it, if it has to have a tone of voice, if it has to be funny, delete it. Honest to God, don't send it. It probably will be misinterpreted because these things need facial expression and a tone of voice and the right context, and you just delete it. If it's humor or sarcasm and you are sending it in a blog, an email, you're writing it down in some way, don't do it. It will not work out well. I don't know that you got to be careful about humor. Yeah, people are saying it's a really good point. You have to be careful about humor and sarcasm in person, especially sarcasm, because people don't understand it. And especially if not everybody is native to the same language, because that kind of makes a difference. And humor, too. Unless it's an out-and-out joke that is inoffensive to everyone. You know how sometimes people start a speech with a joke because they got it out of a book? Yeah. I find that kind of dumb, but you have to have something that is inoffensive and is really designated as humor, right? Yeah. But that depends on tone of voice, facial expression, the audience. Don't do it in writing. It will never. It'll never work out. I mean, that's a never rule. We have no never rules in Recipe for Peace now. We found one. We are out of time. Oh, that went fast. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for the wonderful discussion and all your participation. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. You want to find us? We're at recipeforpeacenow.com. recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. Prior shows archived on the website. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.